Interesting, interesting comments coming from Dr. Ralph Gonzalez, of course, the Prime Minister of St. Vincent. Haley, it's a decision. It's a difficult decision to make, and I don't think we should shy away from it. You got the Sri Lankans on their way to the Caribbean. The first game, the first T20 is in March the 3rd, followed by one on the 5th, then on the 7th, at Coolidge. And then the first ODI is in the 10th, then one on the 12th, then the 14th, and then the first test match is the 21st through to the 25th, and then the second starts on the 29th and ends on April the 2nd. So a tough decision, Haley, to be made.
I think that's probably why I'm really glad that I'm not a selector in this position.
I like that one.
I think probably looking at the history of it, looking at how Jason has led the team in the past, I think we've seen moments where he is quite capable of doing a fantastic job. I know he's liked by many, including myself, around the region. And I believe he's quite capable of getting the job done. With that being said, though, I think looking at Craig and how he's led this team when they went to Bangladesh for snow, we've seen that he's done a fantastic job there as well. I think it's never easy to take, I guess, what would be considered a fresh 14, 15, how many ever guys went down there, to overseas conditions and lead them to a test win. That's obviously something very difficult, and I think that's the biggest reason of why this decision of choosing a captain for this series against Sri Lanka is going to be so tough, and definitely ones that the selectors will have a headache about, but I surely will not have a headache about. I would definitely not decide to watch and see which one is picked, but at the end of the day, I think they're both quite capable. We've seen the two of them grow up in Barbados cricket over the years, both being wonderful role models and leaders. And I think, you know, as a Barbadian and a West Indian, me myself personally, I'd be proud to see either one leading the team.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Sir Clive, I think you're still very much with us, Sir Clive. Talk to us about this. A decision has got to be made, Sir Clive. I heard you on the cricket commentaries a couple of days ago. The question was asked. And are you prepared to answer, Sir Clive? Who would you go with as leader?
Yeah, the point is that, you know, I'm the one that played a part in getting Jason
as
captain. And he's had good moments and he's had some bad moments. I think it's good to know that we've got guys with that experience. I don't think he's going to be out of the side. The point, he would be in the side. The point is what they would have to do is sit down and have a chat with the players and, you know, how do you feel, you know, what was the team spirit like? Because you can't get rid of these guys that did such a marvelous job. You have to do, you know, there's so many things that they did right. They are probably, not many sides went into the fifth day, if you look at it, in Test cricket over the last 3 years. Most of the games were finishing third day, fourth day.
Right.
We went into the fifth day twice on a turning pitch. We had to chase 395, and these guys batted extremely well. You know, we had to defend 230, and we did that. And the point is that you just can't think that this is just a flash in the pan. No, these were excellent performances. And there's so many other teams that went to Bangladesh that didn't fulfill the thing that they were supposed to. India, Australia, England, Sri Lanka, they all were there with the full squad of players. We had 10 guys who were missing. And this has been, we made 400, we made 397, which is the highest score. And a fourth innings in Asia. And when you look at all the teams that have played in Asia over the years. So we have a lot to be, thankful for and pleased of the way these guys played. And people must understand that captaining the West Indies is by far more difficult than any other country. Australia is one country, Pakistan, India, New Zealand, Sri Lanka. We have 14 islands spread. You know, we're spreader in, by water.
Right.
And the point is, people with different cultures and backgrounds. It's not easy to bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
And Craig Braffitt and the, those guys, in a matter of a couple of weeks, pull things together. We have to reward them. I want to see them rewarded for what they have achieved. Mm-hmm. I want to see them, you know, the board doing something for them.
But Sir Clive, would you reward Craig Braffitt with the captaincy in relation to Sri Lanka?
Well, that would be Roger's call.
So, if you had the decision to make, Sir Clive, what would you do?
Well, if I was a selector, it's obvious that Craig would be slightly ahead of Jason, really, of such because of what they've done. With the team that they had there. But the point is that they'll have to sit down and discuss. It's a beautiful position to be in.
Right.
That you have guys who've with experience and who's captain, who's vice captain. It's entirely up to them to sit down and work it. And I'm sure Jason, the guy, will not say, "Oh, well, you know, I've got a bad deal or a raw deal." You know? But it is a good position to be in.
To be in, yeah.
And I'm happy that they're in that situation.
All right, we've got another 10 minutes left in the show. And, of course, we're going to come back to Derek now. Of course, we got the Sri Lankans coming. Let's change the conversation a bit. Derek, after that wonderful performance against Bangladesh, what are your expectations against Sri Lanka? The first T20 is going to be on the March the 3rd. The first test match is on March the 21st. What are your expectations, Derek?
Again, I think this is some more pressure on the West Indies team, because having done so well in Bangladesh, we are now expecting, I am expecting, that this series against Sri Lanka at home, we are going to do even better. Bangladesh is rated lower than Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. We've taken care of them. Now we need to move another step up the ladder. And so it's ideal that we don't have to go from playing Bangladesh to playing India or England or Australia. We're going to play Sri Lanka on our own. T20, we should be able to beat Bangladesh in a T20 series. We're supposed to be able to beat Bangladesh in a one-day series. And now come to Test cricket, we know feel, be confident in test matches. A team like Sri Lanka, who is not far removed from Bangladesh, we should be able to beat them. If we don't, we need to measure ourselves and say, look, this is you know, just going up and down, going round in a circle. We need to see the improvement. And just to go back to the Jason Craig Braffitt situation, Jason has been a very good captain for the West Indies in difficult circumstances. He took over the captaincy when he was 23 years old, when he was just finding out what kind of cricketer Jason Holder is. He's gone through some hard years, some hard cricket, carrying a team that has not been particularly successful. For his own cricket development, and remember, he's a batsman that has scored 200 runs in a test match. He is a bowler that is capable of his 5-wicket spells. He is a magnificent fieldsman. Let us give him the chance to develop his game for a year, to catch back, to not bowl as though he is a containing bowler and he's going to bowl wide of the off stump and go for one or two runs and over and is doing a job. He has got to be an integral part of our attack. He's got to have the freedom to go in and bowl teams out and try to get wickets and enjoy his game. I have absolutely no problem. In fact, I'm very confident that in 2022 and 2023, Jason Holder will be captain of the West Indies, probably in all three formats. But I am just saying that right now, the next 6 months, mm-hmm. let Jason play. Of mm-hmm. course, you have to have a conversation with him and with Craig. Let him play, be the integral player that he is for the team at that number six batting position, mm-hmm. the bowler, the all-rounder, the key player. Mm-hmm. Let him do that and have his freedom to develop. When he is confident that he is the number one all-rounder in the world, then we may want to ask him the question, are you ready to take on grooming those other young players coming up? But for now, that's how I see the West Indies team going. And the pressure is on us to beat Sri Lanka.
Mm-hmm. Philo, your expectations for Sri Lanka? Philo?
Well, Andrew, my expectations for the West Indies Sri Lanka series is for West Indies to win all three formats.
All three formats?
Mm-hmm. The ODIs and all three mm-hmm. formats. I think that we're in a good position now mm-hmm. to see our strengths and our weaknesses in relation to those three formats. Mm-hmm. If you look at what is happening in Antigua, guys are scoring runs. Mm-hmm. All the games are playing in Antigua. So there shouldn't be no foreign mm-hmm. conditions there at all. Mm-hmm. And I would expect that the performances mm-hmm. in Bangladesh, mm-hmm. Andrew, would have inspired those guys mm-hmm. who will be in the West Indies T20 and ODI mm-hmm. squads mm-hmm. to really lift the game and perform well for West Indies in their own backyard.
Mm-hmm. Ian, your expectations?
Andrew, it's good that we're in a position now that we can speak of competition and guys fighting for players. Just a few months ago, we were scratching our heads of who the next players would be. So we are, as a people, a cricket-loving people, in a positive place. My concern, Andrew, we are in a T20 World Cup year,
mm-hmm.
and our white ball cricket has been very inconsistent.
Right, that's true.
When we left New Zealand, we heard a frustrated captain in Pollard speaking to how the guys had performed, and there is no room now for error, especially with our T20 team. So this will require some strong conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are playing white ball cricket now in Antigua, but where the T20 version is concerned, we must get our selections right because we don't have a lot of time before we defend our trophy. Mm-hmm. So I want to see some strong commitment being put into that T20 team.
Mm-hmm. Haley, your expectations, Sri Lanka?
Yeah, I think if we look at the record, I guess, as well as the rankings over the last couple of years, we would probably all believe that we're one step ahead of Sri Lanka at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think, too, like Mr. Murray was saying, moving from Bangladesh to Sri Lanka is probably that one step up that we definitely needed. And it will definitely show the strengths and weaknesses out of you guys. I think what's really good to see also is the runs that are happening at the regional level. We're seeing hundreds scored pretty much every game, which is really, really good to see. I know once upon a time, a guy would have made 280s and I have felt like he was secured within the team, whereas now there's definitely a lot more competition that's going to be around. And I think that's definitely something that's really healthy for West Indies cricket and definitely going to force that mode of competition in. And I guess maybe guys be even hungrier. I'm sure the standards are up a lot as well. When you see other guys competing, scoring hundreds every single day, you definitely know that 100 isn't going to cut it for making a team anymore. So yeah, I think once we continue to have that competition throughout mm-hmm. the West Indies setup, is going to bring about better performances. And I think, you know, whatever squad we do decide to go with, you know, we're expecting to beat Sri Lanka with how things have been of late.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, thanks to you. Of course, we've got another 5 minutes left on the show, so we're going to end with the generals, a five-star general, and maybe a six-star general, of course, a little bit later on. But we're going to go to Sir Clive Lloyd, and then we'll finish with Prime Minister, the Honourable Ralph Gonsalves, Dr. Ralph Gonsalves. Sir Clive, your expectations for Sri Lanka?
Well, I think Andrew will do very well, because the point is, don't forget, we've got, for the past 6 years, we've had the best one-day players in the world. We have so many of our players all over the place playing one-day cricket. And once we can harness the talent, pick a decent squad, I think we should beat anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the test team looks like it's shaping well, I think we're in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I'm happy.
You're...
I'm sure that, you know, with the right guidance, these guys will come up with the goods.
All right. We're going to finish, of course, with Dr. Ralph Gonzalez. Two things for you, Dr. Ralph Gonzalez. News is breaking that there's going to be a challenge to your very good friend, Dr. Kishore Shallow, and to our very good friend, Mr. Ricky Skerritt. My understanding, and I've got this on good authority, that there's going to be a challenge. On February the 18th, the nominations will close, and I'm told that the challenge is going to be coming from, and I put a full stop there. We give you a little bit more information a little bit later on. The elections for the presidency of the West Indies and the vice president is going to be on March the 22nd. That's going to be March the 22nd. Now, two things. Your expectations for, in terms of the Sri Lanka series, and your reaction to the fact that Ricky Skerritt and Dr. Kishore Shallow will be challenged.
First, in relation to Sri Lanka.
Yes.
I don't want us to underestimate Sri Lanka.
Mm.
Sri Lanka has some individual players of brilliance. And they have had inconsistencies, but it is important to realize that they have had a history of successes over the last 20 years. And that always counts for something. I don't know which Sri Lanka is going to turn up.
Mm.
If Sri Lanka pulls itself together, we're going to have a very interesting contest. So it's not, I think that the West Indies cricket team would be very challenged with Sri Lanka. And that's, we must never underestimate anyone and overestimate ourselves. We have to be very calm, collected, and analytical about everything which is before us. Now, in relation to the matter of the challenge to Skerritt and Shallow,
mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised that you're going to have a challenge. We have within our Caribbean competitive elections.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think that most persons would probably say, most reasonable persons, that whatever the limitations of the Skerritt Shallow regime, that they have done enough
mm-hmm.
over the last 2 years. Because let's face it, to use a cricketing analogy, the man who is at the crease ought always to get the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So if even there is a doubt, the batsman is given the benefit of the doubt. I know you have the modern technology to have replays and so on. But how many times we hear, it's the umpire's choice.
Yes.
Give the man at the crease the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it would probably play out like that. But it would be an indication to Skerritt and Shallow that you can't rest on your laurels and you have to be doing a lot more. They have done, I would think, enough. And we have to be careful that we don't appear unnecessarily impatient to push two young men away who have made important contributions thus far.
Mm-hmm.
It's a short period of time to see everything. They haven't had, I don't think you can say that there has been such a horrendous bungling or such a chamber of horrors. We have had reasonable leadership, and I would think that we we were the people, the persons involved, the electorate, which is a small electorate, will give them the benefit of the doubt. I just want to say this, going back to the earlier question, you know, our while Clive is quite correct, Clive Lloyd is quite correct about the quality of the one, the players that we have. There is a big difference between players playing in IPL and other competitions and people playing for their country. All the players, these individually brilliant stars, they have to make the transition from playing for teams with all sorts of strange names to playing for the West Indies. And this must mean something. This must represent something, because if you falter there, you're not going to give your optimal performance. And that's my worry with all our brilliant stars, is how do we bring them together, how we gel them, and what goes on in their heads as Caribbean men, in this case, Caribbean men, playing for the honor and glory, not just of themselves, but for some greater entity, some greater good. And that leadership is important in that regard. Leadership.
Dr. Ralph Gonzalez, final question to you. We've had so much pain across the region, you know, ever since the halcyon days of West Indies cricket, that period between 1980 and 1995. We all know what happened when Mark Taylor brought the team to the Caribbean and we lost. And ever since then, we have struggled. And there's a glimmer of hope coming from Bangladesh with the Craig Brathwaite-led team winning. What does this victory mean to the Caribbean man and the Caribbean woman?
You know, in my own context, in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, I have a mantra which I speak from the platform all the time. And I tell the young people this. We are not better than anyone, but no one is better than us. We have a civilization of nobility with a certain historical grounding. And we have a trajectory for further development and further ennoblement. And when we have our men and women perform in sports, and we are talking about cricket here, that it lifts us all. It is part of the upliftment further of our civilization. And it touches our spirit, it touches our soul. And certainly, I mean, why would I stay up in the until 4 the morning watching guys playing all the way in Bangladesh? No, it's a special meaning. And if those who don't understand it, I can't explain to them. No. As an ornithologist may be able to describe very well and analyze how the birds fly. But can you lecture the birds as to how they fly? No. It is in us. It is part of us. It is who we are. And that's why it lifts us.
Dr. Gonzalez, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us and spending so much of your very valuable time to be with us on Mason and Guests. We want to thank you, Derek Murray, as well. I don't know if you're back. Yes, Dr.
I must tell you this, Andrew.
Yes.
My wife asked me what I'd be talking about.
Yes.
From 6:15 to 8 o'clock.
Yes.
She said, well, I must send you your dinner before you start at 6:15. She said, you have to be fortified to deal with Andrew Mason. So she said something
here to eat, Andrew. Indeed. I like that. That's a wonderful one. I want to thank you, Dr. Ralph Gonzalez. Always a pleasure to have you. Yes, 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 Sir Clive.
I have just something here to read. I wanted
Gonzalez
to hear it. It won't take too long.
Sure.
What I feel the government should do. I feel... And this is what I think about sport. I feel that government should seek to elevate the level and quality of sports programs in schools and make it an important part of the curriculum. Over the years, scientists have long held the view that regular aerobic exercise can positively affect the brain. In fact, expanding research has shown that exercise can improve the performance of the brain by boosting memory and actually speeding up the learning process. And studies have shown that school-aged children who have a higher level of aerobic fitness process information more efficiently. It is vital that governments, as well as teachers and other administrators, understand the importance of sport in the development of our society and recognize the virtues of applying human and financial resources to this institution accordingly. Sports provide healthy challenges. Sports create scholastic and professional opportunities. Sports provide a foundation for wholesome human development. A healthy society is the underpinning of a productive nation.
Wonderfully said. Dr. Gonzalez, your response?
100%. I agree with that 100%. Completely.
Thank you.
Right. Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Ralph Gonzalez, for coming through and talking to us. Thanks to Derek Murray. Of course, the first time you can smile in a long time. I know you're very, very happy. You won't have Carnival, Derek. We're planning to have Cup over here, you know, even in COVID. So you can come to Barbados and enjoy all night mornings there in St. Vincent. I know that Ian Bradshaw is unhappy that he's not going to have any Carnival. I want to thank to you, Clive. They call it, is it Mashamani there in Guyana, Clive? Is it Mashamani?
Mashamani.
Right. On around May the 23rd, I think it is, just before
that's
you.
Yeah. I forgot to say hello to Derek.
Yes, Derek.
How are you doing? How are you doing, Derek, with the ackee and salt thing?
You're doing well? We're going to hear you, Derek. We're not hearing you, Derek. You're going to turn it on? Yes? How are you doing with the ackee and the salt fish? You know, they say crab and Kailaloo is sweeter than flying fish and cuckoo.
Man, I'm getting used to it. You fellas have to come and share some with me sometime soon.
Yes, indeed. Of course, Dr. Ralph Gonzalez may want to share the...
I get my other vaccine.
All right. I think we got another 5 minutes left on the show.
Andrew, there's one matter on which...
Yes.
Sometime last year.
Yes.
Or might have been 2019.
Right.
You had on this program the late great Oinata.
Yes. Yes.
Gary Sobers.
Yes.
Sir Gary and myself.
Yes.
And you had pledged to organize the domino competition
in which
Sir Gary and I were going to play against Owen and whoever Owen brought with him.
Yes.
I don't know whether Derek or Clive are very good at domino playing. Since Owen is no longer around, I don't know if Mia plays dominoes.
Yes, she does. She does. She does.
Derek.
She
Derek
does.
Is near a prime minister.
So we still have that domino competition to play, you know.
Yeah, indeed.
I don't. Yes, I don't want you to wait until I am dead and then you have Gary alone.
It's a wonderful part. I want to thank you, Prime Minister. It's always a pleasure to have you. Make sure you go home. And of course, you not a lot of time to rest because, of course, the series against Sri Lanka is going to be starting on March the 3rd. All the games are going to be in Antigua. Thanks to you, Derek. Enjoy your ackee and saltfish. We want to thank Ian Bradshaw who's with us. Thanks, of course, to Sir Clive Lloyd, all the way in England. Philo Wallace was with us earlier, and of course, wonderful work there from Hayley Matthews. And we really want to wish the West Indies team very well. Roger Harper was with us as well earlier, and my co-host, Dr. Andrew Ford. And I got to say, the business of a leader is to turn obstacles into stepping stones and disaster into triumph. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a bright tomorrow. It's good night.